The following programming is sponsored by Father James N. Drucker. The views expressed do not necessarily reflect this station, its management, or Beasley Media Group.
Dan Hutt present Harms, because there is a retired U.S. Air Force captain in the room. Honorable service during Desert Storm. But I guess you should salute from a kneeling position, because although people say he's one hell of a disc jockey, he's also an ordained Catholic priest. Here he is, Philly's doo-wop priest, Father Jim Drucker.
Rock and Roll Reveille is a sole production of Father Jim Drucker's Drucker Music Publishing, Broadcast Music Incorporated.
Welcome to Philadelphia's new show of doo-wop music and the caring for our military veterans, especially in Philadelphia and our listening area. Our show will feature doo-wop music and celebrity recording artists live in studio and by phone. Heard here Saturdays at 4 to 5 p.m. on WWDB 860 AM. Simulcasts also heard on WPEN FM 97.5 HD2.
This is Johnny Madero. We're going to have a great show tonight with Father Jim, and we're going to have some great old records we're going to listen to, some great Billy and Essentials, and some old Danny and the Junior records. Stay tuned for a rock and roll night.
Come on, Doc.
Do the sensation that's moving the nation at the hop.
Hop, pop, do what? Let's go, Billy.
Let's go to the hop.
Yeah.
Let's go to the hop.
Oh, baby.
Let's go to the hop.
Oh, baby. Let's go to the hop. Come on. Let's go to the hop. Well, you can swing it, you can groove it, you can really start to move it at the hop.
Danny and the Juniors rock and roll on WWDB. Oh, my God. The greatest a cappella song ever, Billy. Let's shut up. Shush.
You come out to cheer me up because you love me so.
Daddy, you're for me. Daddy, you're the one I love.
You're listening to Rock and Roll Reveille. Our guest today is Johnny Madero. Bring that music up. I love it. Danny and the Juniors. Oh.
Mm.
You're the
sing it, Danny Rapp.
Hear what people say. Rock and roll is here to stay. Rock and roll.
to listen now. Come on.
Let's all start to have a ball. Everybody rockin'.
Come on, Kenny Vance.
Oh, baby, rock.
Oh, baby.
Oh,
Danny and the Juniors and the two limps. Dr. Andrew Sobicki and Jimmy
Don't
Drucker.
Involve me with that. I'm good.
No, you're a good singer. You kidding me? I would never listen. I'd be ashamed to do that. We're back on the air, 888-329-3306. I'm so excited because Johnny Madera has come onto the show many times on Rock and Roll Reveille, and I want to thank a very dear friend of mine named Raymond for that title. I love you, sir, and thank you for your support of this show. And God bless you, and God bless Marlene, Richard. I love you. Anyway, we're continuing with what I'm going to bring on right away, immediately, Johnny Madera, who grew up on the streets of Philadelphia, over in the projects where I grew up with my little dog named Bop Bop. And then later she had children. One of them was Ray Ray. Where we got the names, God knows.
Bop Bop, why did you write that song?
I just thought of it. I'm like, God, yeah, it was, my God. What do you think of that, Johnny? My dog's name was Bop Bop, not Hop Hop. Johnny Madera, working the Philadelphia radio.
Thank you, Father Jim. Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here. And with my friends, all the people that I grew up with. God, so long. But made some great records, had some good times, and made some long-lasting relationships, which is really important.
And one of your dearest friends and one of your first discoveries as a songwriter and a music publisher and as a record producer was a young boy named Billy Carlucci, and he's here with us in the studios, my co-host every week. Jump in, Billy, say hello to your dearest buddy.
Hi, my dearest buddy. If it wasn't for you, I wouldn't even be here, Johnny. Thank you so much. You're a really big part of my heart.
You are, too. I remember every moment we spent together and moments of us singing together at your home. Just the closeness and love that we have for each other. And, yeah, it's been a long road, and I appreciated it so much because of all the people I worked with, I didn't have relationships with. Hmm. You were one of the few that I had a relationship with. I think Lenny and you were the two closest relationships that I had.
Yeah, we loved hanging out together. That's for sure.
Yeah.
And then a kid from the streets of North Philly, after he left the projects, went to North Philly, 2207 East Oakdale Street, and I grew up. I met Norman Joyce. He said, "Hey, kid, come here. I'm going to give you a job for nothing. You get nothing a week." I said, "Wow, sounds great. What do I want? Well, you can be with a lot of great singers, songwriters." I said, "Wow, sounds tremendous. And the money is nothing. Oh, well, I'm 19. I can handle this." So I went to work for Jolly Joyce Theatrical Booking Agency, and I used to hang out at the Brill Building in New York, which was the personified of the great hit record makers, including Billy Carlucci there, the Brill Building in Philly, in New York, rather. But in Philly, we had the Schubert Building. So I'd go there, I'd see Jerry Ross and Jerry Gross and the Dovells, and I would see the Times, I would see Billy Carlucci, and I would see my good friend, Johnny Madera. Talk about the Schubert Building and what you did there, Johnny.
The Schubert Building was kind of like the New York Brill Building. It's where there were quite a few people, and there was Artie Singer was in there, Jerry Ross was in there, and Jerry had a young kid working with him by the name of Kenny Gamble, and I had Leon Huff working with us on the second floor, and it was definitely a Brill Building kind of atmosphere, and then Tom Bell would show up. And he'd be working up there with Kenny.
Great record producer.
Oh,
yes.
A great arranger, great producer. One of my favorites. Wrote some of the best songs ever to come out of Philly.
Now, we have to explain to the people, they may not know this. We're talking like we know it, and we do. We lived it. I wrote songs, songwriter, music publisher. But in New York City, there was a building where a lot of young people got together, Carole King, Jerry Goffin, Jeff Barry, great writers, and they would write hit records for the Ronettes, for the Crystals, for the Righteous Brothers. And you were in Philadelphia writing hit records for Danny and the Juniors, for You Don't Know Me, Leslie Gore, a 3 or 4 million seller.
Well, in the Schubert Building with Johnny, we went crazy. We wrote every day we wrote songs on that white piano. Remember the white piano? And Dave and Johnny would be in her office. They wrote songs on a ukulele. Really? Right, John?
Oh, yeah. Well, Dave had a baritone ukulele. And so whenever we went any place and to play a song for somebody, well, you didn't have a piano in your bag.
But I remember.
Wait a minute, you're kidding me. There was a baritone ukulele? Yeah,
and I remember Johnny and Dave called me in the office and said, listen to this song. We want you to hear this song. We think it's pretty good. You know what that song was on a baritone ukulele?
Tell me, what was it?
You Don't Own Me.
Wow. Amazing.
It was fantastic. I said, that's a fantastic song.
And now, I'm going to tell you this. This is the first record, 1 minute, 58 seconds long, by Johnny Madera, and his first record called Be My Girl.
My baby, I need you.
Be my girl.
To hug you and squeeze you.
Be my girl.
Wanna do things for you.
I need you.
Be my girl.
Oh.
You're driving me crazy. Kids are just thrilling me.
Be my girl.
I want you to love me.
All I need you.
Be my girl.
Oh.
But with you, it's somebody new every day. As for me, I wanna be here to stay. I love you so madly.
Be my girl.
I want you so badly. Girl.
You know, Billy, it sounds like it has a ukulele in it, doesn't it?
I don't know, but the recording sounded great. Johnny, where was that recorded? In New York or in Philadelphia?
As at Recoir.
Recoir, wow. That's a great sound he got.
Great Emil Corson, one of the greatest engineers in the world on South 12th Street.
Well, that studio was at 13th and Market originally.
Oh, it was? Oh, all right.
There on the corner of 13th and Market was a cigarette shop, right across the street from John Wanamaker's.
Amazing.
There was a pool.
Yeah,
there was a billiards room in that this little building next to the cigar place. And in that building on the second floor was Recoir.
Wow. Wow, a lot of hit records from there. A lot of hit records.
Well, at night, Emil would have the downstairs door be locked, and Emil would use that long hallway going up to Recoir as his echo chamber.
Wow.
That's a long-lost secret.
Yeah, Emil was a really good engineer, really good. We'd bring him things in that we'd say, Emil, we love the sound of this record. Can you get this kind of a sound, man? And he'd give it to you. He was a great engineer.
Great studio engineer.
This is Tyler, the producer for Father Jim's Rock and Roll Reveille. I'm excited about hearing your life. Growing up as a young man from Philadelphia who could write hit songs, who could sing and most especially discovered new artists. Could you share how the Juveneers became Danny and the Juniors?
Well, you know, I was raised in the projects, like Father Jim said. And so being poor kind of opened doors to stretching out and trying different things. And I got a job at the Inquirer as a messenger. And through that, being a messenger, I would travel to different buildings looking up advertising agencies. And doing that was I met some vocal coaches. One was Vincent Mazza, and the other was Artie Singer. And I started taking singing lessons. So from the singing lessons, I got to make a record, Be My Girl. And from that, I got to be friends with Dave White.
Wow.
Dave White sang with the group, the Juveneers. And I heard them singing on the corner one night.
What corner? Where? What corner, Johnny? Where?
54th and 54th Street. My home was 1118 South 54th. I remember that address. And Dave lived in the same area, maybe two blocks away. So I heard them singing one night, and I found out who they were. And I asked to be introduced to Dave, and Dave came to my apartment, and we became close friends. And so that started us hanging out together. And there was a garage below my apartment that was empty. and was part of an old, a guy had a shoe shop that he fixed shoes, and it was all closed, but it was all the bottom of my apartment I lived in. So we would have the guys come over, Frankie, Danny, Joe, and David, and we would sing. We would sing the current songs. Be My Girl, not Be My Girl, what was the Everly Brothers things. Bye Bye, Bye Bye Love.
Baby, Bye Bye Love, Bye, yeah. Right, yeah. Bye Bye Love.
We would sing a lot of the songs that were out at the time. Then one day, David and I went up to pick up a used car. I was buying a used car, and Dave and I were on the subway elevator train. I remember exactly how it happened. And I said to Dave, "Dave, I've been thinking about writing a song." And I said, "The kids are doing the bop on Bandstand." I said, "Why don't we write a song called Do the Bop?" And so that started it. And I had a melody, and I gave Dave the melody, and Dave's playing with his baritone ukulele. And so I was scheduled to make a new record at that time as a follow-up to Be My Girl.
What was the label, label?
The label was Prep Records, which was a subsidiary of Capitol.
Oh, wow.
They started that label to put out rock and roll records on, because they didn't want rock and roll on Capitol.
Yeah, they disgraced the good, easy listening sound of the Letterman and these great groups and what's-his-face?
John, can I have the keys to the car? That was a record he had.
What memories?
What was that record, John?
So what happened was we went and played for Manny Kellum, who was at Capitol Records, and then we played him Do the Bop, and it was the Juveniles singing background. I'm singing lead. And instead of saying, "Let's go to the hop," it was "Let's all..." It was the original was "Let's all do the bop." So we made the changes in the lyric. We played it for Dick Clark, and Dick said, "How about calling it something about record hops?" So we rewrote the song, the lyrics, and instead of being the "Let's all do the bop," it became "Let's go to the hop." I was going to go back in and re-record it, but it wasn't right because Danny and Dave and the guys had really been the singers. And so we took Danny in the background, and Danny sang the lead, and that was it. We're sitting in Artie Singer's office, the Juveniles. No, we can't call them the Juveniles. So had been the Four Preps and the Seniors and the different groups, and said, "Let's call them the Juniors and take Danny's name out." Danny. Oh, Danny and the Juniors. And that's how the name became.
Wow.
And from there, you know, we made other records with Rock and Roll's Here to Stay and Dottie. But then Dave and I were finding other talent.
We're going to get into that in a moment. Billy wants to jump in. Billy, please.
Yeah, I'd like to jump in, but I don't have my parachute on right now.
Well, I tell you what, speaking of Billy and the Essentials, ladies and gentlemen, a medley of hits, Johnny Medeiros songs, Billy Carlucci and the Essentials.
It can happen to you if you're young and hard. It's hard, you will find, to be narrow of mind if you're young and hard. You can go to extremes with impossible schemes. You can laugh.
So over the weekend,
time or place to look for you, but maybe you'll be there. You said your arms could always hold me. You said your lips were mine alone to share. But after all the things you told, I say
a bunch of hit records by Billy and the Essentials. Hit records. Johnny Madeira produced them all. Johnny, jump in here with Billy. I want you to talk about music in Philly and New York and hit records and songs.
I got to tell John that everything that you suggested we do became our biggest requested records over the weekend, and Young at Heart especially.
Yeah, Young at Heart was a great record. I thought that record should have been a giant hit. Your performance on that record was
knockout.
Stellar.
Absolutely.
Oh my God! And performance. Billy's performance on everything we did was always incredible.
Well, our first show we did was with Jerry Gross. God bless him. I love him dearly. Of the Duvels, and he said on the air live, he said, "Father, you have sitting next to you in the studio." He couldn't make it in that time. He wasn't up the weather, and he said, "You are probably one of the most greatest singers on the face of the earth, and should be more highly recognized than he is. He's an absolute star in my book."
Totally 100% accurate. I mean, of all the singers I worked with, most certainly Billy was right at the top of the list.
And John, same for you. All the producers, all the people I work with, Shelby Singleton, I even work with Carol King and everybody, but you're the best producer ever, and I tell that to everybody.
Thank you, Billy. Thank you. It means a lot to me.
True.
Means a lot.
Each time I see a crowd of people, just like a fool, I stop and stare. I know it's not the proper thing.
And this is Dr. Savicki on the line. And I just wanted to let you know that when it comes to veterans, music is very important. That's why Rock and Roll Reveille has become a hit among so many veterans. And we devote a portion of that show, Rock and Roll Reveille, with this vignette. A vignette based on what we almost always do is pray. Pray for our veterans, pray for our families. And with your permission, Father, let's begin with Psalm number 5. If I could start that off, Father.
Psalm 95, and we also pray this for Janine, who's not under the weather, is unable to be with us today, our executive producer. We love you, dear. God bless you. And we're starting Psalm 95 from the Holy Scriptures of the Old Testament. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation.
Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song.
For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods.
In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him.
The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land.
Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker.
For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Today, if only you would hear his voice.
Do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did the day at Massah in the wilderness.
Well, your ancestors tested me. They tried me, though they had seen what I did.
For 40 years, I was angry with that generation. I said, they are people whose hearts go astray, and they have not known my ways.
So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest.
Just remember always, my fellow veterans, that there is a veteran and a family member that will listen to you. Consider the following. Dial 988 or text 988 or call me directly. Doc Savicki at 856-278-4042. And as the song you hear says, maybe you'll be there, maybe I'll be there for you.
My God, what music. What music from the 50s, the mid-90s, Hank Ballard, and we have Johnny Ray and OK Records. I didn't know he was on OK. Like Joe, remember Peanuts? Little Joe and the Thrillers. I used to be his manager. And his daughters were the Sherrys, Pop, Pop, Pop.
That's right. And Johnny, and that was Johnny's discovery.
I didn't know that either. Wow, how about that? And then we had the Les Paul, Mary Ford, and Al Martino. Listen, Johnny, before you come on and talk about those songs that gave you the oomph to start writing songs and become the wonderful songwriter you are. I have on the air with me right now Bobby Riley. He's going to be on the air next week with a book written by a brother Vietnam veteran. And usually he tries to stump me, and he'll probably do it today with a song. So, Johnny, say hello to Bobby Riley and give us a call at 888-329-3306. Yes, Johnny, go ahead.
No, I was just saying, hi, Bobby. How you doing today?
Hey, hello, Johnny. Hello, Billy.
Hello.
Hello. Paul Zavicki.
Hi there.
I have the stumper for the day, and I think everybody's going to get it right away. But I've been looking for a street light here. Billy, you're doing good. You must have one in studio, so just leave it there for me next week.
You got
and
it.
Here's the stumper. I remember when I used to chase the girls and beat them up, but I was young and didn't understand, but now I'm a grown-up man.
Cowboys to girls.
Damn.
By the Intruders on Gamble Records.
Who got that? Billy got that.
Well, Billy jumped ahead of me.
That's because I
thought you got that's a favorite song of Laurel Earl Blevins, one of our beloved Edison 64 who gave all.
Oh, yeah. By the way, we should mention that, Johnny. Johnny, I don't know if you know this, but Edison High School boasts, sadly, the largest death toll of any high school in America of Vietnam veterans. And the second largest is Father Judge Catholic High School. 37 men gave their lives. So, Bobby, listen, you're going to be on the air next week. I welcome you and your buddy Clyde to come on. And I love you. Johnny, jump in and say hello to Bobby.
Yeah.
Johnny?
Bobby, I'm here.
Hello.
Hey, Bobby.
Yes.
I'm here.
I'll tell you what, let's continue the show with Dr. Zavicki. Go on, Doc.
Johnny, if you don't mind, Lieutenant Colonel Doc Zavicki here. I'm Father Jim's co-host on Rock and Roll Reveille. Tell me, it's amazing how you could write hit after hit, promote group after group. As a psychologist, I can only call you gifted. We just heard songs that influence your life as a songwriter, co-producer. Johnny Ray, Al Martino, Hank Ballard, the Four Aces, Les Paul, and Mary Ford. Please share with our audience their influence on your life musically, my friend.
Yeah, you know, what I think when I think about that era, I think of the records that were out there, the records that I was listening to as a boy, because radio was the main source of entertainment. And my mom always had the radio on. So you think of the artists that were out there in 1950, the Mills Brothers, the Ames Brothers, Frankie Lane, Sinatra, Nat King Cole. So music really hadn't done its change yet, unless you were listening to WDAS, which I did, and you would hear records from the early groups. So that was kind of an influence to me. But I was still loving the records like Hear My Heart, Sin, by the way, those artists, Al Martino, the Four Aces, were all from Philly.
Mm.
And so what happened was, that music became brand new to me as a listener. It was brand new music, and it excited me because it was different from the Sinatras and the Nat King Coles. Though I still love that music, now I'm listening to these records that are totally different. They're more rhythm sections. They're not big orchestras. The songs are totally different, the way that they're written. The lyric content was totally different. And the lyric content really grabbed me as a teenager. So that influence really grew on me, and so I looked for more records like that all the time. So I start listening to WDAS more as a listener, and then you saw records coming out that were the early records, like Rock the Joint by Bill Haley and the Comets. That was a big influence because that was brand new sound. It was, who had done something like that
before? That was your genius. You were saw diamonds in the rough, and you flowered them. You made them beautiful and shiny.
And we have to remind the audience, back in our days, it was Wibbage, W-I-B-G, Joe Niagara, the Rockin' Bird, High Lit, W-D-A-S, Georgie Woods, the man with the goods, Jocko Henderson, Up with the Air is Rare, W-H-A-T. They were the great stations of Philadelphia. FIL came later. I don't like FIL. I'm sorry to tell you, because Wibbage is me. Wibbage is you, Johnny Madera. Wibbage is Billy Carlucci.
Oh no! Yeah, Wibbage was the station. That was the station, and like a record like Pop Pop Popeye, we recorded that in the afternoon. I took the acetate with me, drove out to WIBG. High Lit was on the air. I gave the acetate to High Lit, got in the car and driving home, and here I hear the record on the radio.
What history? This is Jim Drucker, Father Jim Drucker show. Listen, an acetate is when you cut a record. You're in the studio, you cut the record, but boom, cut two, cut, boom, done. I like that cut. They would then take and lathe right on a machine, the record, on a vinyl record, an acetate, a first copy. That's what Johnny took to Webby's Radio. There's some more music that also influenced you, Johnny. We're going to listen to it right now. You're on Rock and Roll Reveille, 888-329-3306.
The New Year's Eve, we did the town. The day we tore the goalpost down. We will have these moments to remember. The quiet walks, the noisy fun, the ball. We will have these moments to remember.
Well, I never felt more like singing the blues, 'cause I never thought that I'd ever lose your love, dear. Why'd you do me this way? Everything's wrong and nothing ain't right without you. You got me singing the blues. The moon and stars no longer shine. The dream is gone, I thought was mine.
We'll knock the door, smash out the windows and knock down the door. We're gonna rock, rock this joint, we're gonna rock, rock this joint, we're gonna rock. Six is 36. I ain't gonna hit for six more licks. We're gonna rock, rock this joint. We're gonna rock, rock this joint. We're gonna rock, rock this joint. We're gonna rock this joint tonight.
Can you believe, ladies and gentlemen, I'm on the radio right now, by phone, one of our dearest friends and a close friend of Billy Colucci and Johnny Madera. They all recorded records, arranged, sang, harmonized, rehearsed at the Schubert Building. Jerry Gross, I love you, sir. Welcome to Philadelphia Rock and Roll Reveille and Father Jim Show.
Hey, Father Jim, it's great being with you. And hello, Billy and Johnny Madera. I haven't spoken to you in a couple years, my man. How you doing?
Hey, Jerry. How you doing, my friend?
All right, brother.
Hey, Jerry, I got one thing to say to you. No, no, no. Don't stop me now.
I should make you part of the group, and we should go out again.
No problem.
And before I forget, Jerry's agreed to come onto our show in October to do a show, a full-hour show of Jerry Gross, and then we'll have Johnny call in, and we'll have Billy. Well, he's in the studio here with us. So anyway, I'm so excited to have you on the air with me. This is like a blessing.
Well, it's always great to be with you, Father Drucker. You're the best. So
first time with Johnny Madera and Jerry Gross together on the air.
That's wow. Is that true, Johnny?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. Hey, Jerry, do you remember coming to the record shop as the group and the person?
Of course I do.
I remember coming
to the record shop. We used to come to your record shop, and we used to rehearse there in the back.
That's right. That's right. And I get those memories that come back to me, and I say, man, those were the best of times. They were
Absolutely. You know, listen, we're lucky we lived through that decade, those decades in that era. It was the best of times.
It was.
And it's great hearing your voice.
Maureen Gray used to come by because she lived up not a couple blocks away from the record shop. Said Maureen would be there. God, the times that we had in the studio.
And we rehearsed The Dance Is Over in that back room with that white piano again.
Without the ukulele.
Without the ukulele.
Listen, one of the big hits, another hit by Johnny Madera, Stay On Jerry, Please, is this hit that he collaborated with one of your friends called Len Barry, and they had a hit. It wasn't 4, 5, 6. It was 1, 2, 3. Destruction was about Vietnam. Eve of Destruction. And Johnny, what came into your heart to write a song about good things, the dawn of correction? And Jerry Gross, stay on with us, please.
Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Well, that happened. That was about a 7 o'clock at night idea. We were sitting in the office writing something, and Ray Gilmore, John Casey, the DJ, was our friend, and he was in the office with us, and he suggested writing an answer to the Eve of Destruction. So we sat there all night, and wrote the song. So we didn't have anyone that we were recording at the time, so we would do it ourselves. So I sang lead, Yay and Dave did the background, and that record went on the charts within weeks after we recorded it. But there's a cute little story I gotta tell you real quick about that record.
Please.
So the record was a hit, and it's like top 30, and we get a call from Shindig and a whole bunch of TV shows from California come out and do all these shows. So off we go to California. The three guys who were not artists, I was not an artist, I mean at the time, and Dave was not singing, and Ray was a disc jockey. So then we go out and buy three outfits, and we go out and we do some TV shows. So we're doing all these different shows, and we did a show with David Crosby and the group.
Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Well, no, not at the time.
Okay.
It was the Springfields.
Okay. Mike,
well,
in the mic.
The Springfields, something like that, right?
No, they were the Birds.
Oh, the Birds. Oh, my God, the Birds. Turn. Wow.
Yeah, Birds and what's his name was one of the members of the group. So we're singing the song, The Dawn of Correction. David Crosby, after we're done singing, walks over to me and says to me, "Hey, man, do you really believe that crap you're singing?"
Whoa.
Yeah, do you really believe that crap you're singing? Because we were singing a positive lyric. And of course, the Eve of Destruction was a negative lyric. David Crosby, he was a character. We worked with him a few times. That was fun because I never really got to do the artist trip, and I never really did that. Though I was singing, I never really worked. I think I did one or two jobs, but I never really was an on-the-road artist. But here we were on the road and doing all these TV shows, and it was so much fun. This was Dave and Ray, and we did Dick Clark, we did American Bandstand, we did Where the Action Is, and we had the best fun. And it was my one experience of being an artist on the road.
Well, it was a great record. You guys really looked good doing it, really. You put it together a nice group.
Now, Jerry Gross, your friendship with Johnny Madera at the Schubert Building, share some personal thoughts, please.
Well, my relationship with Johnny Madera was more at his record shop in Philadelphia.
Okay.
I mean, we saw each other a few times. I was working at Action Talent at the time. He was the Schubert Building before that.
Right.
And listen, Johnny was one of the great writers and producers of the times. And Johnny, you don't remember, but a couple of years ago, when we were talking, I asked you to send me one of my favorite songs you ever written and was recorded, and I never got it. And I'm doing a new album that I'm going to do for fun. I'm going to put it out, but I want to get some of my music out there. And one of the tunes that I love, some of my favorite music, was your tune, A Teenager's Dream.
Wow.
Oh.
And you were gonna send that to me.
Get it to him now. And I want to do the liner notes, Jerry Gross. Let me do the liner notes.
You can definitely do that. I'll
it'd be my blessing.
It's called Deauville's 21st Century with special guests. And I have some friends on there. And it says
Johnny, if I could just jump in I love you so much. In 1967, you had a hit record in Australia. I understand from what you shared before, and it was a song that my wife would clean the house to. A number one smash
hit
throughout all of Australia.
Let's play it right now. It's a crazy wacko record, but it was number one in Australia, the country. Let's get that son of a gun on right
let's
now.
Let's do it.
Sadie, the cleaning lady.
Sadie, the cleaning lady, with trusty scrubbing brush and pail.
Be remiss if I didn't play the big smash hit for Jerry Gross and Len and the Deauville's. And Johnny, I want you to chime in here and talk about the wonderful songs of the Deauville's as well. And Jerry's going to be doing our show probably in 3 or 4 weeks. So, Jerry, talk about your song.
Bristol Stomp?
Yes, sir.
It wasn't called that when we first wrote it. We were in the studio doing Out in the Cold Again. And Billy Harper, a promotion man, walked in and put the students' record on every day of the week and said, here's a new dance at the Goodwill Fire Hall in Bristol, PA. And he showed us the dance. They wrote the song for us. It was called the Goodwill Stomp. We changed it to the Bristol Stomp, and the rest is history.
You know, Billy Harper is still with us in Jersey. He lives in New Jersey. I'm going to have him on the show someday soon. He was a famous record promoter at Universal Record Distributing. But anyway, fade the record down, and we continue with the show on Rock and Roll Reveille. My guest is Johnny Madera, legendary, truly legendary songwriter, singer, publisher. He created so many good. Talk about Leon and the people you brought up in the industry, Johnny, please.
Well, when I had the record shop on the 60th and Market, there was a club, maybe a block away from the record shop. And I would go there maybe once a week, once every couple of weeks. But I'd go check out the talent, listen to the music. And it was right near the record shop. So it was cool that I didn't have to travel any place. I just walked up the street. So I go there one night, and there's a band. And I'm automatically directed right to the piano player, who now, is...
How old were you then, Johnny? How old?
23, 24, 25. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
In that area. I still had hair.
So you go to the piano without the ukulele.
Yeah, without the ukulele. So I go up to this club, and there's a group on stage, and they're really good. And my ears went right to them, but the piano player was unbelievable. Yeah. I'm going, oh my God, yeah. I never heard anybody play piano like that. And it was Leon Huff.
Wow. Leon Huff of Carl and the Commanders.
Yes. Well, no. Carl and the Commanders were a different group.
Wow.
Carl and the Commanders were a group that actually we had played on a lot of our records and was a great group unto themselves. They were the lead singer, and their group was really good. There's a story about that. I'll tell you that in a second. But where was I?
Talking about the piano and...
Leon.
So anyway, after the set, Leon, I introduced myself to Leon, and I got him to come down to our office in the Schubert Building, and we signed him and to a writer-producer contract. And we started writing songs with Leon, and...
Name some of them, Johnny. Wow. Name some of the songs.
The early songs that we wrote?
Yep.
Oh, my God. I'm trying to think of all the early songs that we wrote together. God, you got me here.
Whatever. Name any songs you wrote with him. How you collaborated with him.
Oh, my God. Love Me, Love Me. Oh, my God. I'm trying to think of all the songs we wrote together. A lot.
A lot of Pixie 3, because I was involved, too, with the Pixie 3.
Wonderful.
And
three
the
beautiful girls from Lansdale.
All the nice things we wrote. I wrote with Leon and you guys. It was fantastic. We had a great... That was at the Schubert Building.
And threw some titles up, Bill.
Yeah, Love Me, Love Me, as one of them, from the Pixies 3. Party, 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 the Pixies 3.
The 44, 42 Glenwood Avenue?
No, Johnny and Dave wrote that. They, okay. That was a great record.
A great record. I played it, yeah.
And that Christmas... what was the name of the Christmas
thing? I used to book them at Jolly Joyce.
Summertime USA was a great record, John. Great record.
It was a great record. And the great performance by the girls.
Great and a great production by you. Believe me, it was great.
Yeah. You know, we were doing things that were really early things, like using instruments, like on Maybe You'll Be There. I mean, I remember asking Joe Renzetti, I said, Joe, if we use a trombone and a trumpet together, how's that going to sound? And then he said, oh, that should sound really good. And I've had people make comments on that Maybe You'll Be There about the trombone part. Well, now you're playing my favorite record.
Now listen, we're gonna be concluding the show. It's crazy. It's an hour. I should have a 10-hour show. It's been marvelous having you, Johnny Madero, on the air. But a quick mention, bring music down a little bit, Tyler, about the Sadie song. Talk about that real quickly, because it was a monster hit in the country of Australia.
Yeah. Well, you know what happened was we were doing some demos at Cameo Records, and Ray, David, and I had written this song, Sadie. So we had some time left over, and it was Renzetti was there. And I remember saying to Joe, hey, Joe, give me a little Herman's Hermits. And Joe started playing, dunk, 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 dunk. And we had a chord sheet for Sadie, and that was it. I did the demo. I sang the demo. And I don't know who sent it, but somebody sent it to Australia, to the producer of Johnny Farnham. And all of a sudden, I look at Billboard one day and look at the charts, and the number one record in Australia is Sadie the Cleaning Lady.
Now, listen, you didn't just have hit records in Australia. Bring the music up a little bit, Tyler, please. Hold on. Johnny Madero wrote this song. Talk about it real quickly. We have a minute and a half, Johnny. Jerry Gross, I love you. Say goodbye to the Philadelphia audience. We're going to have you on the air in a few weeks. Love you all. Jerry Gross, jump in, please.
All right, guys, thank you for having me today, and it's great talking to all you guys, and Johnny will call you after the show. And that's it. We'll see you Philadelphia in 3-4 weeks.
And Jerry, keep dancing in the streets. That was a great record also.
Thank you, brother. Unfortunately, the record company fell apart.
Anyway, Johnny Madeira.
You don't own me. The woman's marking.
Good, Johnny.
Woman's right. You can't control woman's body. So don't tell me what to do.
Anyway, I didn't want any politics on this show at all, but anyway, you threw it in. I love you all. God bless you. And Johnny Madeira, and You Don't Own Me, what, sold 4 million records, Johnny?
Yeah, well, yeah, it's been a hit number. It's been number one twice.
Wonderful. Listen, I love you. You're listening to Rock and Roll Reveille. Next week, we're going to have as our guest Bobby Riley, and we're welcoming him and his comrade in arms from Vietnam. And it's going to be a great show, so tune in every Saturday, 4 to 5 p.m. Bobby Riley from the Mayfair section of Philadelphia. He supplied material for the book Hard Hammer, written by his Vietnam combat brother, Clyde Lewandowski. He'll join us live in studio. Clyde will join us by phone from St. Cloud, Minnesota. Tune in to Rock and Roll Reveille. Johnny Madeira, I love you. Thank you for being on the air. Jerry Gross, Billy Carlucci, jump in.
Friend forever, guys.
Okay. Dr. Zabicki. And Tyler, jump in.
Call you, John.
Happy to produce.
Good, Johnny. Good.
Thank you, Dr. Andy, for being there. And Jerry and Billy and my friends. And, of course, Father Jim.
Love you, Johnny.
I love you guys so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.